When I say the word change, some of you might freak out. You might be in that sort of 10% that never wants anything to change ever. Some of you might think, oh, exciting, I love change. Can we change everything tomorrow, please? Actually, yesterday, you'd be in the opposite 10% that are uber keen for change all of the time. We're in an Anglican church, so you're probably not one of those people, but you never know. And then there's sort of a spectrum of people kind of in the middle who can kind of come around to change pretty quickly, to who eventually get on board, to who will cop a bit of change, but it'll take them a long time to get there. Change, regardless of how we feel about it, is a fact of life, isn't it? And of course, as a church community, whether you've been here for a short or a long time, you'll know that like any community or gathering of people, we've experienced a lot of change as we've sought to serve God in our world. Our world has changed, and that has had impacts on the worshiping life of this community. Of course, one of the obvious and powerful ways that the change in the world impacted us was back in the COVID days. I know it's unkind to remind us about those days, but you'll remember when we had to meet online and we couldn't come to church, and then we had to figure out ways to sit apart when we did gather, and all sorts of other things. And of course, whilst that was hard, God was kind, as he always is, and there was lots of good for us that was brought out of a difficult season. As we've head out of that season as a church, we've been able to grow and change. And of course, one of the wonderful blessings that God was able to give to us was the growth of our staff team. And so about 3 years ago, we added Andrea, and she brought with her her lovely family, and we've seen more growth and change as we've grown in our prayer life together, and as we've run Alpha courses and seen people give their lives to God, and now we're approaching another change, aren't we? As we have to prepare to farewell Andrea and the Henches, and as we look forward to who might join us in the future, which is another one of those things that's not quite ready to be announced yet, but there's something in the works in the background, so keep praying for that. And it's not just Andrew, is it? There's been people who've left us, either God saw fit to call them home, and that's been a deep and a painful change for us, or they've been called to a different place with work. We've sent missionaries out from us. In Morris and Amanda, who we support, and we've welcomed new people into our church family. Change is happening, and it's happening all the time. And life, as we live and worship God in this church, is changing all the time. But one of the things that helps us, I think, live through the changes of life is the fact that through all of this, we have a God who doesn't change. We have a God who stays the same. As the writer of the Hebrews puts it, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're like me, you now are singing like an old Hillsong song in your head. And the God who never changes, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who is our anchor through life, has called us as a church to a set of or to a vision of what it means for us to be a community in Lindisfarne that has likewise stayed the same as we've navigated people leaving, people coming, the world changing around us, COVID happening, and all those things. Through it all, we've remained, as a church in the Anglican Diocese of Tasmania, a church for Lindisfarne, making disciples of Jesus. Those words that have stayed on those banners behind me for a little bit too long, and probably we need to update the banners. But nonetheless, the words have stayed the same. And so Before I knew that these were going to be the last 2 weeks that Andrew was going to be here, I thought that it would be a good moment for us to just stop and reflect on the two parts of that vision for us, being a church for Lindisfarne, making disciples of Jesus. And I wanted us to think about what it is God continually calls us to, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on in our life, regardless of the changes that he may be bringing. No matter what, we're called to be God's people who are a blessing to our world. And that's what being a church for Lindisfarne is about. As some of you will be aware, our church is going to celebrate just after Easter the 100th year since the laying of the foundation stone of this building in which we are in, which is not a bad effort, is it? 100 years of worshipping together in the community. And actually, we've been doing it for even longer than that. The hall next door in 1925 was up on the corner and people were worshipping there. In one sense, when we say we're a church for Lindisfarne, there's a sense in which that simply means we're here. We've been here and we want to continue to be here. Part of the fabric and identity of the worshipping community here is that we're in Lindisfarne. We love Lindisfarne. What's not to love? We're a part of the fabric of the community. When I tell people what my job is and I explain to them where the church is, if they're from Lindisfarne, they know where it is because you can't miss it. For whatever reason, 100 years ago, they decided to build it very narrow and tall. But on another level, simply, it means more than just being a feature in the village of Lindisfarne. It means much more than that, in fact. It means actually that we want to be not just known and a part of the fabric of the life of the community, but in fact, we want to be a positive contribution to our community. The Archbishop of Canterbury in the 1940s, probably back when they were worth quoting, said this: "The church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members." That was Archbishop William Temple. "The church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members." And we talk about being a church for Lindisfarne. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? That we're not primarily a club that you can gain access to if you're lucky enough, but rather we're a missionary society for our community. We've been sent by Jesus on a mission for our community to make disciples. And of course, the making disciples part is what we're going to focus on more next week. But there's more to being a blessing for our community than just that. There's a holistic sense to the word. And as I talk about this call we have to be a church for the sun, I just wanted to talk about the connection that our overseas mission partners have with our local mission. It felt a bit weird for me to sort of be talking about us being a church for Lindisfarne when we've just spent the better part of a whole service 2 weeks ago talking about our mission partners in Cambodia and those of us who went there. But you see, the interesting thing is that people who are far smarter than I am have actually figured out that a church that knows that God is a God who acts in the world and supports global mission is actually a church that becomes on fire for local mission. And so there's a guy out there called Tim Silberman who's done a study on the practices and perspectives of mission amongst evangelical churches in Australia. And I can probably find it for you if you'd like to read it later. But what he found, he's a lecturer at Sydney Missionary Bible College in Sydney, is that churches that have strong relationships with overseas mission partners, as they experience God work there, their local mission work becomes more effective and engaged too. Isn't that an interesting thing that God seems to do? And in fact, as we think about our own partners and we think about Abraham, he in fact is a great example and a model to us of what it looks like to be a church for the place God has called you, doesn't it? Abraham has a church for Andong. And part of what that has meant for them is to start a school and to see a community transform, not just spiritually with 35% of the population of 3,500 coming to faith, but slums turn to village, muddy sewage roads turn to paved roads, tarpaulins turn to brick houses. This is the kind of blessing that God's people can bring to a community when they work for its good. We're a church for Lindisfarne, seeking its good, seeking to bless our neighbours. But the question, of course, is that actually what God is calling us to? It sounds good, but can we find a biblical justification for what we feel God is calling us to? And I want to suggest to you, yes, we can. We see, in fact, that this is part of what it is to be called by God to be his people. And we see it in those two readings we have, but we see it throughout the whole Bible, really. But let me just remind you from our first reading from Genesis of the call to Abraham and what that looks like. The Lord, Genesis 12 verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." It could be easy when we read that to focus on the things that Abraham's getting. I'm going to be a great nation. I'm going to have a great name. But actually, all of those things have a point and a purpose that are not about Abraham at all, are they? He's going to make him a great nation and a name and his name great so that he can be a blessing and all peoples on earth can be blessed through him. The call of God on Abraham's life, which is the call actually for the people of God throughout the scriptures, as he calls them to himself, is to bring the blessing of God to the people of the world. And of course, we see this work itself out as the Bible story unfolds. As the story continues in Genesis, we see the story of Joseph, who finds himself in Egypt, and as God's man in Egypt, finds himself able to manage the affairs of Egypt in such a way through God's blessing that enables them to have enough food to survive the famine that comes, and eventually to bring blessing to the neighbouring nations, including God's people and his brothers. And of course, that story continues with Israel growing to be its own nation who are able to bless others. And we see as the story progresses in Kings about how the nation of Israel has grown, and it is a nation that is blessing those around it. Famous story in 1 Kings where the Queen of Sheba visits King Solomon. And let me just read to you from 1 Kings 10, a sort of truncated trip through 1 Kings 10, starting at verse 1. "When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Verse 6, she said to the king, 'The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half what was told Not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be, how happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel. He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. And then in verse 13 we read, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her return to her own country. So we see God's blessing through the King Solomon to his own people and then to the nations around it, including Egypt, which ironically they'd have fled, now being blessed as the Queen of Sheba comes to visit King Solomon and is given many gifts. But of course it continues even when things are not going well for the people of God. For of course we know that the Israelites start to take God's blessing for granted, start to think it's something that they're entitled to and not a gift that's been given to them for the world. And eventually that leads to them rebelling against God, and so God sends them into exile. But when they go into exile, God still commands them as his people not to just huddle and stay amongst themselves and survive. He says, be a blessing. So we read this in Jeremiah 29, verses 3 to 7. In a letter, we read, I'll start at verse 4. This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray for it, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Even in exile, God says to his people, work for the good of the city you find yourself in, the city that has captured you, the city that's not letting you be in your homeland. Live there and seek its good. Be a blessing to it. And of course, in the New Testament, Jesus instructs us as we experience God's blessing through faith in him and through the forgiveness of sins that comes in through trusting in him. He encourages us to live as a transforming blessing in our world, which we heard in our second reading today in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus uses the analogy of salt and light to describe the effect we're supposed to have on the communities in which we live as his followers. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Work for the good of the world and the place in which you live. The salt of the earth preserving, the light of the world shining brightly. And the point of all of this, the point of being people who are different, who seek to bring God's blessing to the world, is so that God may get the glory, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So as we seek to be true to God's call in our lives, to be a church for Lindisfarne, to be a generous blessing to others as God's people have always been throughout history, we're called to trust God, to seek his glory, and to bring God's blessing to the community around us. And Hebrews 13 gives some great instructions for how we can do that. Verse 1 of chapter 13 of Hebrews, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who mistreated you as if you yourself, those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. And then in verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Because of what God has done for us, we're called to love others, to show kindness and hospitality to them, to work for those who are suffering, to focus on doing good, but to do it for God. Not for ourselves, not so our church grows, but so that God is glorified. Because the Bible is clear, isn't it? That he has blessed us so that we might be a blessing to others. And the greatest blessing that anyone can have is to know that they are right with God. But we live in a community that perhaps doesn't want to hear that news. And so part of what we have to do is shower people with love and kindness, even though they might reject us, so that they will be willing to hear that God loves them, that he sent his son to die for them, and that he has a plan and a purpose for them that far exceeds whatever they could come up with in their own minds. God is calling us to work for our community. God has been calling his people to do that since Abraham, before even. And no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, no matter the changes that may come about, we need to continue to be true to the calling God has placed on us. So, how can we do that? Well, I don't want to give you all the answers, because that would be cheating. Rather, I just want to get you to start thinking and praying. Because it works on two levels, doesn't it? How do we live as God's people in the world, seeking to bring his blessing to it for his glory? Well, we can do that together. We need to, but we also need to do it individually as Christians in the world as well, don't we? So how is it that we can do it both together and individually? And of course, one of the things that we have coming up, Hope 25, after Easter through to Pentecost, is a season of evangelism, but it needs to also, I think, be a season of blessing. And so we need to start thinking and praying and planning as to how it is that we can engage our community, not just with the good news about Jesus, though we must do that, but also how we can bless this community that we live in. And then perhaps more challengingly, or maybe more costly for us, how do we do it as individuals, as the individual God has called us to, in our homes, with our neighbours, in our workplaces, in our community groups, wherever it is God has called us? Let me encourage you to start thinking and praying, if you're not already, that God would give you the opportunity and the wisdom to know how you can be a blessing for his glory to those people God has placed in your life, the colleague who's annoying you, the neighbour who won't cut his tree branches off your fence, the business, whatever it is, how can you be a blessing? or as we seek to live out our lives as Christians in a changing world, let me just finish by reminding you of what I started with, that we serve a God who never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his call on us is to seek to bring his blessing to others through us as we bring his word and deeds to the community he's called us to serve. And I pray that we would do that together and as individuals for his glory. Amen.